This morning, I, you know, the last little while, I've been just struck with the thing you've heard 800 times from me about Paul praying for Philemon, that the communication of his faith, not, you know, I know in my history, I know people who have been associated with great men of God, and they end up with his faith, the man of God's faith, and they don't develop their own faith. So 30, 40 years later, they're still quoting this guy, which is okay, but in all of that, there's nothing coming out of their own being. And that's where we have the disconnect. Jesus said, if any man believe in me, out of his own being shall flow what? Rivers. And so the purpose of ministry is to develop the connection between the river, Christ himself. Christ means the anointed one. And as you get connected to him, that anointing begins to fill your life with a distinct expression. So this morning I was waiting on the Lord. I just constantly feeling challenged in my own heart to be able to communicate him to you guys so that there is a ministration of life that is his in you. It doesn't have to have any flavor of who and what I am. And you know. So this morning I was just meditating on the Lord, just trying to find, you know, not being the smartest guy in the world. God gives me pictures. And the picture that came this morning, and then he blew me away. I'll be 20 years from now, I'll still be meditating on some things that ministered to me this morning. But you take a guitar and you put a set of strings in it. And we got a church today that's constantly and only referring to our security in Christ. So you take those new strings, you know, I have a little tool that you plug in to put the strings in the base of the guitar where all the strings sit. And, you know, we keep telling each other, you're okay, you're okay. You're seated in Christ, you're rooted in Christ, you're good. But the ministry of admonition and exhortation takes that string and then moves it up to the peg. And what does it start doing? Tightening it. Because God, if you only dwell on the one end, there's never a tone developed in the life. So we end up with Christians who sit in places their whole life, and all they know is this, being planted in Christ, being secured in Christ, and anybody that comes along with any kind of an exhortation, oh no, I'm okay. There's never a tone, there's never a note, there's never any sense of the ministration of Christ, because God has to stretch us. So you know, one of the verses we quote a lot, Paul says, reaching forth unto things that lie before, forgetting the things which are past, the good, the bad, whatever. Paul says, I'm pressing toward the mark. Reaching, stretching is another different way of translating that Greek word. What's happening? God is fine-tuning him. And he's bringing, you know, what does it say in Hebrews there? If you don't get chastised by God, I'm paraphrasing it, you God's not dealing with you as sons. So what is chastening for? It's to develop the character. It's to, Paul wrote to Timothy and he says, I'm challenging you to stir up the gift that was given you. What's he doing? He's tightening the string. He's going, hey, I'm not hearing that note that you've been called to. And so as I got into that, because I just love that analogy, we're here to fine-tune one another. We're here to bring a note. And on a guitar string, I love, oh man, this just blew me away this morning. And I got a tuner, right? And so my tuner's got 440 hertz. Every string on that guitar is tuned to 440 hertz. And you're like, well then, do they all make the same note? No, because the characteristic of the string makes a different note, but the frequency of the note is the same. The frequency of the string, and so what is God doing? He's bringing us into His Spirit. He's bringing us in, and so God is ever at work. You are, you know, you got the big E string, you got the little E string, but they're both at 440 hertz. One puts out an E note at somewhere down here. The other one puts an E note up here. But they're both an E note. And the problem with religion is it wants to make everybody the same note. God's looking for, there's a Greek word used where we get the word choir from. It says, one of my favorite verses, you know, we run into situations where our prayers are unanswered. And Jesus said, if any two of you agree on anything, it shall be done. Well, so you get 50 people, we're praying here, we're all agreeing. Well, that's not what God's talking about. The Greek word there means if any two of you symphonize. Symphonizo is the Greek word. Where our hearts are locked into the purposes of God. And we are praying out of a unity. I've been in meetings where we've prayed out of the unity and I've seen dramatic healings. Nobody gets to take the credit. Because we're all partaking of the same Spirit. That burden is a corporate burden, and it's done. That's it. I remember one meeting in particular, we're praying. This lady had lost one child, and the next child she had the same issue. And it's just like as a fellowship, everybody went, no, this ain't happening again. And we went over to their house, and as soon as you walked into the house, you were caught up in the burden of the Spirit of God. And everybody's in a room somewhere. We're not in the same room. Everybody's praying and out of their own, their accord with the Spirit of God. And partway through, all of a sudden, I knew it was done. I looked at the woman. I said, it's done. It's over. Your son's going to live. And she's like, well, I don't. And I said, it's done. And that was a done deal. But this ministry of exhortation is where we interact with one another to bring each other into that place of harmony in the Spirit, not with one another. Big difference. So you might have a guitar at home and you don't have a tuner. And you can tune the guitar, you choose a string and you tune the guitar to that string. But you go to someone else's house, he plays an A chord, I play an A chord, and we ain't on the same page. Even though we're playing the same, we're doing the same fingers, the whole nine yards. And that's when God's people are out of sync with the Spirit. Every man tunes to his own thought process. And what do we end up with? We end up with a discordant sound in the ears of God. We end up out of sync with Him. And that's why the first purpose of true ministry is to bring people into their own ability to hear God, because He corrects people. You know, like I'll get done with something and I've been told I can get a little, intense having a chat with someone. And sometimes it gets a little more than intense. And so I might have delivered a truth, but I'm out of sync with God. So truth is more than just a doctrinal statement. You can travel all over the world and talk to people, and different people will look at you and say, Jesus is Lord. But when one person says it, and another person says it, it ain't the same thing if you're hearing in the spirit, in your heart. It's a whole different matter, you know. So the Pharisees are going, oh yeah, we're Abraham's kids, you know. And John 8, Jesus said, you're the spermata of Abraham. You're the natural seed. But really, your father is the devil. Because you're out of sync with the heart of God. You're following a lineage rather than a relationship. And I read something by Tozer on Saturday. He said the biggest issue with spiritual stagnation is God's people make their relationship with him a judicial one, rather than a relationship, a heartfelt one. And God has to continually bring us to the point of realizing that it's relationship, not a judicial declaration. I mean, those guitar strings firmly placed inside the one end of the guitar is a fact. Your planet upon him touching your life, you're planted firmly in the being of God. But if your life never comes to its own note, to its own expression, you've fallen short of his purposes. And so, as elders, God's raising up a new eldership. And what are they looking for? They're looking for the note. Not a doctrinal note, because the big E and the little E, they put out a different note, but the frequency is the same. And there is a discerning. God wants to develop a tuning fork in you that when someone speaks, you go, oh, that's God. That thing that this guy is sharing is the result of him being in tune with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so in Luke, I think it's Luke 22. Luke 22:32. So it's interesting with the Gospel of Luke. Luke wasn't a first-hand observer of the things of, he wasn't involved with the 12 or the 11 disciples. But his view of things was the result of the Spirit of God breathing into him. So he's going to develop some expressions here. In most cases, Luke is a little heavier than the others. Luke really brings the wood to the beating. And I love it. And so anyway, Peter makes this huge confession, you know. This is right at the end. And Peter, you know, first of all, they're squabbling over who's going to be the greatest and who is the greatest. And because they all have their own unique moments in Jesus, you know. So, one can say, well, hey, when I came, Jesus told me where I was before I even got here, you know. And so they got, all of them got valid reasons why they think they're, you know, the head honcho. And then Peter makes his great great little confession there. And then Jesus points to Peter, calls him Simon, which is interesting. There's a whole story behind that. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. See, there's a difference between knowing Jesus as your Lord and being converted. Conversion is when you begin to grow into a place in God where you start strengthening your brothers. You start speaking into their lives because you're turned from yourself. You're not here to make people think like you, but you are here to strengthen each other in their walk with God. That's conversion. Conversion is when you start loving and caring about the lives of those around you. So here's Peter blabbing, I'm the greatest. Jesus said, well, Peter, when you're really converted, you're not going to be looking for the supremacy. You're going to be looking to lift up your brothers and bring them into the harmonizing life of God in them. Conversion is when it's no longer about you. When you're converted from your self-view, and now the love of God begins to lay hold of you, and he moves you out of your comfort zone. I mean, that little girl right now, she ain't thinking about you. Her life is, and rightfully so. You don't expect that. So there is a conversion that happens. There's something that begins to transpire. And what does Peter say? He says, I prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail you, Peter. Your little confession is going to be vaporized by a little girl. It says a little girl looked at Peter and said, I know you were with Jesus. And Peter's like, I don't know the man. I'm out of here. But Jesus said, Peter, I'm praying for you. And here's what I'm praying for you. I'm praying that it's no longer about you. It's not about people recognizing your leadership. You're this or you're that. I'm praying that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brothers. The Greek word there is sterizo, where we get the word steroids. And when you are converted, you become aware. And as you walk in the Spirit, you begin to develop the areas to discern in your brother and sister, areas that they're weakened, areas they're struggling in. And Paul says, Jesus says to Peter, when you're converted, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a people that invest themselves in the people of God. They're no longer sitting as spectators. They're functioning members of the body of Christ. And because of that, they step out of their comfort zone and begin to minister to their brother according to the needs in the Spirit. You got to walk in the Spirit to minister in the Spirit. So the two guys are walking down the Emmaus Road and discouraged. I mean, their whole foundation has been ripped apart. This Jesus is no more, as far as I'm concerned. And if you're walking in the natural mind, you're going to go over there and try to console them. Oh, it's okay, brother. It's okay. What does Jesus say to them? Oh, you slow of heart. Don't you know what the Word of God says concerning this one? Because Jesus is walking the Spirit. He sees into their heart. What's he doing? He's bringing strength to their faith. And they're so in love with God that this stranger, can you imagine? You and a guy or another brother are walking down the road and you're all discouraged. And this guy comes over and says, oh, you slow of heart, get out of here. But if you got a heart for truth, you go, speak on, brother. I need to hear these words. I need to be exhorted to rise up out of the circumstance I'm in. Well, if you're not in the spirit, you're going to minister sympathy rather than power. And there'll be other times when a brother fails horrifically. And your natural mind says, that guy needs a rebuke like no other. But you get over there and the Spirit of God goes, he's got issues deep within his own being. Say this to him. And so God is ever seeking to bring you into those places in the spirit that you minister outside of the natural mind. You begin to look. What was the first sentence out of Cain when he fell away from the Lord? It says just prior to that, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. It says, I mean, that's what I love about the scriptures. It says he went into the land of Nod, I think. Nod in the Hebrew means wandering. He lost his anchor in God. He's no more in God. He's left to himself. And he begins to build cities and name them after what? Himself. What does he say to the Lord? The Lord says, where's Abel? Well, am I my brother's keeper? That is the natural man. And what do Christians say today? Oh, that's not my business. It's not my business that, well, he doesn't go to our church anymore, so, hey, he's outside of my responsibility. That's the natural man. That's a man that isn't in touch with God. You are your brother's keeper. What is it? Let's go to Hebrews there. Well, I'll just quote it. It says in Hebrews, Paul's exhorting them. He says, provoke one another. The Greek word for provoke there is the same Greek word where they provoke them unto anger. It means to take people to the very edge of wanting to have anything to do with you. Provoking one another unto love and good works. See, we're no longer trying to get the guitar string in the pegs. It's already in the pegs. People don't need or shouldn't need as they begin to develop in God. They don't need to hear every Sunday how wonderfully they're connected with God. They need to hear the exhortation to get the strings tuned so that their life starts to produce a sound in the earth. The sound of the Lord going forth from his people. What does that sound look like? Well, Paul says, to one he has the spirit of, you know, the ministry of exhortation. To another he's got the word of knowledge. To another he's got discernment. It all looks different. Because the different size of the strings produces different notes. But when you play them and they're all in tune with God, there's a harmonious chord coming out. And that's the danger of, like I've been involved with a lot of home meetings. And it's as dangerous, in some ways it's a little more dangerous in a home meeting than it is a big church. But they all take on a, you know, we can tune our guitar to each other here and be out of sync with my brother in China. So it requires a people that are ever walking in the Spirit to prevent that short-sightedness. And that's why God will always press you into the ministration to the people of God outside of your sphere. He'll bring people in all the time to stretch you and to cause you to realize your absolute need for him. And to bring you into your own dependency in God himself. I like it. I go overseas somewhere and you sit down and you're in a meeting and you're in sync. Because they're in sync. And that's, I remember one time I was traveling from, I've probably mentioned this 100 times, but I'm flying to Japan. And as I'm flying over there, I'm just seeking the Lord because you got all kinds of time to go nowhere. And the thought hit me that I could take a drop of water out of my faucet in Cranbrook and land in Japan and have a glass of water there, and I drop that drop in and it seamlessly integrates because it's the same. It's the same. The nature determines relationship, not doctrine. And they who are of the Spirit symphonize and harmonize with others who are of the Spirit. It takes us out of this clicky thing and brings us into the place where, because God will keep blowing the doors off you. He will keep bringing you into new places in Him where you can't fit into. What is the purpose of religion? Is to conform you to something. The purpose of truth is to transform you into something. And so it's by us becoming a life that's lived in Him that we find union. So this finger has total union with this finger because it's connected to the head. If I cut that finger off and lay it on the table, it's no longer a part of the body. It may have the appearance of a finger, but it's no longer able to function within the framework of the Spirit of the living Christ. And so relationship with Him determines our relationship with our brothers. So it says in Hebrews here, considering one another to provoke unto love and good works. And then it says, and so much more so as we see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching? So it says, so much more so as you see the day approaching. Where is the exhortations unto love and good works today? What do you hear 90% of the time? You're okay in Christ. You're okay in Christ. You're okay. You're okay. There's no development. A child remains a child until you start disciplining. So it says in Hebrews, for if God chastens you, He deals with you as with sons, no longer children. I mean, how can you get angry at an 8-month-old baby? Well, I mean, there's, you know, but as that 8-month-old baby becomes 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, hey, we got some discipline happening. Why? Because we're forming character. They're now developing into the place of having capacity for development. And as we develop in God, God begins to expect different things from us. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. I know people that go, I don't want God to require much of me. I want to stay a child. I don't want to have to step out and go talk to someone about an issue in their life. And what happens? The body of Christ suffers when the members of the body of Christ cease to love one another and care for one another. God is looking for a tone in each one of you. He's bringing you into Himself. So, I mean, you read the epistles of Paul to Timothy. What's he saying? Get with it. Get with it. The prophecies that went over you, live up to them. One place there where Paul says, stir up the gift that was given you through prophecy. The Greek word there means blow on the coals. Your heart's getting cold, Timothy. He's blowing on it. Let's get some heat back in here. The spirit of a Christian should have a fervency and a fire. Because the word declares our God is a consuming fire. Well, if you're becoming like Him, what does it say in, I think it's James, the fervent prayer. The fervent prayer. Get a hold of that. You know, well, Lord, we just, you know, we kind of pray for this brother here. That's not what's going to cut it. It's a fervent prayer, but it's not because of your nature. It's a fervent prayer because it's born in the love, in the spirit, and the intensity of his concern for another member in the body of Christ. So God is ever seeking to raise us up. And of course, I always bite off more than I can chew here. But the Greek word for when you are converted, let's go to Matthew 18:3. I'm going to give another picture of this word. I was actually going to label this little message today as subjunctive truth. It sounds weird, but subjunctive is a voice used to characterize a Greek word. And subjunctive means it can come to pass or it might not come to pass. So in the Greek, there's all these different voices and moods. And so the Christian church today as a whole, we go on the indicative. We go on something that says, yeah, you're okay. But the subjunctive brings another, it's the other end of the guitar. It's the one where the string has to get tuned. So in Matthew 18:3, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become a little child. So my entrance into the kingdom is not based on a promise. It's based on God being able to work within my being, his end. Except I become as a little child, except I be converted. So here's another powerful word for that word that Jesus said to Peter. When you're converted, then you'll be able to strengthen your brother. If you never develop into the manhood of Christ, you're never going to be strengthened in your brother. Because you don't have the capacity for that. So true conversion is when the ministration of Christ begins to flow out of you into the lives of those around you. And that's what we're after. And so you run a light through a prism. Oh, if I get into that, we'll be here for hours. But if you run a light through a prism, you get seven different colors come out of it. Seven different frequencies. And so As God's light shines into you, you're going to take on one of those hues. And don't let anybody change the color that God's put in you. But that color has a frequency. All color has frequencies, just like sound has frequencies. So God's going to fine-tune your color. He's going to fine-tune your expression. Indigo is different than violet. And I mean, I love this. So, yeah, I'm not going there. Today. So, anyway, the wonder of God is expressed in perfection, even in the natural world in which we live. And allow God to stretch you. People don't know the difference between conviction and condemnation. Because they keep going back to, oh, I'm okay in God. And God's going, no, I need to tune you. Peter, you're going to fail me. But don't worry. You're going to weep. You're going to lament what the true state you're in. But I'm going to pray for you that you come into the place of true conversion. and to carry within your heart my love for my people. And to grow into me so that you know how to strengthen your brothers and sisters. Well, read the epistles of Peter. They're heavy. But what's he doing? He's fulfilling the call of God unto him. Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance godliness, godliness brotherly kindness charity. For Peter says, if you do these things, there will be an entrance ministered to you into the kingdom. If you don't, you will suffer loss. What's he doing? He's been converted into the heart and the wonder of all that Jesus is. Draw near to him. Let the fire of God that's in him, you know, if you get a piece of wood close enough to the fire, it'll start on fire without even being on fire, in the fire. And so God wants to so draw you near to himself that he lifts you out of your selfish tendencies. Well, if I get myself involved in that, they're not going to like me. Well, Jesus said, marvel not that they don't like you. He said it a little stronger than that. Marvel not that they hate you. But it's the love of God reaching into the lives of others. And so, just summing this up, one of my favorite verses in Song of Solomon. It says, draw me, and we will run after thee. As God draws you into himself, you cannot help but draw others into Christ. And to cause them to see their need for their own personal relationship with him. And so God is ever seeking to draw you into him. And just like you're mentioning in all, you know, what you shared this morning, who does God use to see this body come together? You'll notice God didn't sovereignly move in Isaiah or in Ezekiel 37. He says to Ezekiel, you prophesy. You begin to speak to the situation on the earth. Can these bones live? Can this church that we see today be unified? Whew! I've had guys look at me and go, you're out of your rocker. And I go, no. I got Ezekiel 37 here. I got the prayer of Jesus that says he's going to bring this unity. But it's a unity in the Spirit. And it will have no other name but his. The bride of Christ will not take on another name. And so it's in you beginning to come into relationship with him that we begin to reach out into the lives of one another. And we speak truth, but we speak truth out of love. We you can't speak truth to someone else without having the heart of having someone else speak to you. Because we're all works in progress. And we want to know the truth. We're not interested in being right. We're interested in getting right. And when men no longer want to hear the call to deeper things, they become stagnant in God. Like the writer of Hebrews said, you have become, when in time he says you should be teachers, you have become, genomai, my favorite Greek word, you have become children and have need to someone teach you again. We got people sitting on pews and then couches and living rooms, doesn't matter, who after 10, 15 years have no capacity to teach others. That's wrong. And that's why the writer of Hebrews, if you want to read a book of exhortation, it starts off with exhortation, and it ends in exhortation. It's just one long exhortation to a people who are becoming cold in their walk with God, undeveloped. Anyway, I just seriously love and appreciate everyone here, and I get excited to see notes coming out. Like you sharing today, that's a note coming out, and it's got the right, it's got Christ in it, and every one of us develops differently, and you know, one guy's going to minister a little heavier than someone else is going to have grace, and you don't compare ministrations. You make sure that, you know, like a guitar, it's hitting the 440 hertz. That's the note of the Spirit. And so the words coming out, the ministrations coming out are different. But be in the Spirit, grow in the Spirit, and develop in the Spirit of and the power of Christ Himself. No longer walking in doctrines, but walking in the living, live truth of who Jesus is. Jesus said, this is it. Jesus said, verily before Abraham was, I am. Truth is present tense. We're not called to forms of truth. We are called into the living truth of Christ today. And as you come into situations, I come into situations and you go, there's an evil spirit at work in this person. Another person, well, they just got wrong teaching. And so you'll see in the scriptures, it says in certain places, Jesus healed someone. And another place, it says about Peter's mother-in-law, he rebuked the fever. Well, you got to know. You don't say, oh, Lord, heal this person of fever. And Jesus said, no, that one needs to be rebuked. You got to walk in the Spirit. But you got a teacher. You know what the awesome thing about this teacher is? He's with you. He's in you. And he's calling you to a place of sensitivity to him. I got to say this. A friend of mine told me a few years ago, he says Christians today, and he was saying that for himself, we see the church, the organized church, as the mission field. We bring people into the mission field. Why? Why do people bring people into a church and hope they get saved? Because they hope the pastor has something for them. What are they saying? I don't got anything. That's a sad testimony. It's when you're out in the world that you're in the mission field. It's when you're out there. Peter walks up to the guy at the beggar at the temple. He goes, I don't got any silver or gold, but what I do have. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to bring you back to the boys and I are meeting tonight, and we're going to hope something happens here. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Rise up and walk. And God wants to bring you to the place where the deposit of the Spirit of the living God is in you. And you are His hands and His feet and His heart to the world around you. And that's, you want to talk about the Great Commission, that is the Great Commission. You take your Christ, your personal Redeemer and Savior, and you begin to discover the deposits of Him in your heart, where it's you and God meeting the needs of those who you come into contact with. It doesn't get any better now. And what does it say in Isaiah? This is it. It says in Isaiah, you shall hear the voice of your teachers behind you. You're no longer led of men. What is that teacher saying? Awesome, sharing what you shared today. This is the way of the Lord. Walk in it. The teacher's behind, because Christ is in front. Christ is the one leading you and birthing within you. And the teacher's just going, hey, that's awesome, man. Go for it. See, that's where we want to get to. Anyway, I'll stop there.